it up, and we have parking lot all over the place. Folks, I'm gonna tell you something. what most people don't know about a church growing, the hardest things of a church growing is not really getting it full of people. It's being able to take care of all the problems, like not enough toilets, and the septic is not large enough, and those issues. That's really what the problem is. Not having enough parking lot. You've got to walk through the mud. It's the truth. It sounds very carnal, but that's the biggest problem. And anyway, so if there's going to be a growth in the church, it's going to have to come about with y'all. And I started talking about that, how in the growth in the church that comes about, it has to be because you invite your friends. You know people. All of us in here, I asked this the other day and I'll do it again. How many of you in here today that you have at least one friend that does not attend church anywhere that you know of in your life? How many of y'all got that? See, now look at the hands that went up. So we're talking about, we got that amount of people, and all of a sudden every one of y'all got that person in church. The church just doubled. All right, it's just multiplication. The church has doubled. All right? And then those people know somebody that you didn't know, and then they brought them, and then the church has doubled again. It's a really simple process. But the problem is the church can't be built upon me. The church has to be built upon Jesus and has to be built upon all of y'all working together to make it happen. Because if it all depends on me, then, I'm at 50% today. Because I've been sick all week. So if I'm out of the picture, then it all falters. You see what I'm saying? So there's got to be new wineskins. And you're the new wineskins. You are. God wants to come in and do a work in your life and root out some garbage and root out some stuff in life and get you all in a new wineskin so he can fill you up so that you can have something to dispense to everybody around you. Now, how many of y'all in here, someone has said to you in life that you're hard-headed? Can we all just raise our hands and say, yeah? it tends to run in all of us. You see, that's why I think it's funny, because pastoring a church like Living Waters and who we are, where we are, and the location we are, I got every rebel in the county around here. And so all your friends you're going to go get, they're going to be just more rebels. And so I've got the most stubborn, hard-headed people in the whole country are right here, in this church. But that's what makes us special. And then I get to be the pastor, and because I've got the hardest head. That's right. I mean, God didn't pick me for this to pastor this church for no reason. I mean, there's a reason for all this. Okay, so anyway, it's got to be some new wines. Now, in order for there to be a new wineskin in you, you've got to be willing to make some changes in life. You've got to be willing to just not. I'm going to say, okay, Frank, this is what you need to change. You need to change this. No. You've got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life and tap on the door of your heart and say, look, you need to stop doing that. You need to change that. Okay? By the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not by condemnation from someone, but by conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, I want to change. When someone condemns me for something, it makes me mad and I want to hit them. That's how I know the difference, whether it's conviction or condemnation. I mean, that's the bottom line. Because I don't like being pushed. And when somebody's just condemning me for something, judging me and condemning me, makes me mad. And the only thing I know to do is throw down fight. So that's how I know if somebody's telling me something and on the inside of me, I'm just thinking, I ought to just hit them in the mouth. Then I'm thinking, you know what? That's condemnation. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, Robert, you really need to quit this. and he convicts me, then I want to change. I know it's pleasing to Jesus. I know it's going to be something that is going to bring pleasure to the kingdom, and I want to walk in that. Amen. And so we need to start praying in our daily prayers, in our daily life, and saying, you know, Lord, I want to be a good wineskin. I want to be a new wineskin. But I want you speak to me, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Amen. So let's just pray. Come on, let's just say it right now. I'm going to force you into it. All right? All right, here I'm going to pray, and you're going to get in agreement with me, all right? Everybody say with me, Jesus, I want to be a new wineskin. Holy Spirit, you convict me, and I'll change. Amen. Now look at the person beside you and say, boy, we're in trouble now. Now, for time's sake here, if you look up in Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it's where Jesus is at the house of Levi's house, the tax collector, and the Pharisees are complaining about him and whatever. And so you notice that down here, I guess it's probably verse 16, 17. It says, they said, how is it that you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. You don't see well people in a hospital. I got a bad habit because I always ask people, well, how you doing? You know? And the other day I walked in the clinic and I said, hey, how you doing? Well, of course they're not doing well. It wouldn't be in the clinic, right? Oh, that's kind of a stupid thing to say, but when it says, Jesus says, those that have no need of a physician, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Folks, listen to me. The people that God wants in church are sick people. We don't like that because, see, we don't want to deal with all the insanities of life. But if you don't have some sick, crazy people in church, well, then something's not right. Look at the person beside you. I think he's talking about you. You see, religion says that the people in church are supposed to all be, you know, perfect. But I don't need that. I want sick people who want to get well. Now, if there's sick people who don't want to stay sick, well, then, you know, go on off and die somewhere else so we don't have to smell you. Right? I mean, it stands to reason. If you're sick and you want to get well, I want to help you. But if you're sick and you kind of like it and you want to stay sick, well, then just get on. Because I don't need to deal with that, right? So really what we're looking for is the people who've got a problem, that feel comfortable to come into a place to be healed of the craziness. Is that right? They say that in a hospital, the craziest place to work is the ER. Because, you know, all kinds of crazy things come on, going and happening in an ER. Well, I mean, but that's really what a good church should be, is a really good ER. Because people are coming in, they've been wounded, they've been hurt, they need help. Get them the help, minister to them. Remember, not the well ones need the help. We're not looking for the ones that are well, we're looking for the ones that are sick, need some help. The ones that are strung out on drugs. The ones that are gotten offended in life and are totally and completely messed up. Do y'all realize that there's a lot of people in the world that would serve Jesus with all their heart and be great, great, great saints of God, except they get offended with church, and then they never will go to church. You know, they never will go back in and enter into that arena because somebody burned them, some stupid religious person burned them on something, and they won't do it. And so those people would be great because they get that offense in their life. Well, we need those offenses healed. We need a place where people can come into church and feel like they can be healed, they can be touched, and it can be a place of love and of mercy and of grace. Hello? Because I will tell y'all something. If y'all think you already, you know, like y'all have already arrived, you know, and got it all straight in your lives, I mean, come on, don't sit there and look at me like you have, because I know you hadn't. And you know how I know that? Because I ain't got it right yet. And man, I work hard at it. Are y'all with me? None of us are perfect. We all need help. We all need to go. But people need to feel in a place that they can come into a place that they can sit here and they can hear from the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit convict them and be changed and be touched. Amen? So y'all know that sick people, they do cause a problem because they're sick. But that's okay. You know, that's what we got hospitals for. So we get it all cleaned up. Okay, so now I want you to go jump over. This is where I want to really get to today. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, just that chapter is one of the most amazing chapters to me. But I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Okay, so, you know, in the old days, the Methodists, they used to have what they called circuit riding preachers, where a preacher went from one town to the next he went on a circuit. Well, Jesus did the same type thing. He preached in a circuit. So he had it all set out, plotted out, that he was going to go from this town to this town to this town to this town. So he took these people and he sent them out before to stir the faith of the people. Because I want to tell you something, nothing happens if nobody has any faith. So he sent them out to stir the faith of the people before he came. He was going to come into town and preach. So look what happens. He says, he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now that's still a relevant statement today. All right? Man, there's a great harvest out there, but there's very few people wanting to do anything about it. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, and behold, I will send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandal, and greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Does that sound kind of strange to you? He says, go out there and go into the house. Can you just imagine you walk into the house and say, peace. Peace unto this house. And if the person is somebody that is going to be receiving the gospel, receiving the kingdom, whatever, then peace will be in that house. If not, well, then just pick up your peace and leave. In other words, what was on the inside of you was what was going to get on to them. Think about this. What's inside of you is going to get on them. Peace that you have can be released into the house, and peace can get on all of them if they're willing. But if there ain't no peace on the inside of you, you got no peace to give. All right, let me read on. No. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as is set before you. Heal the sick, and there they, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, I mean, Jesus' instructions there are pretty simple, right? Basically, you go to the house, the place I've told you. You look around, you find somebody that will receive you, you say peace unto their house, you're going as my ambassadors, I've anointed you to do this, you go into the house, you lose the peace, you get the peace, everybody's happy, they're going to feed you, they're going to take care of you, eat what they set before you, drink what they set before you, go on out there and heal the sick, and tell everybody the kingdom of God now has come near you. In other words, this is what Jesus wants you to walk in. Y'all with me? I'll never forget years ago, I was down in Chile preaching. And, you know, they came and they set before us, not clams, but mussels on the half shell. And, you know, being in a foreign country, I'm always weirded out about everything, you know, not wanting to just eat it. And so they got this thing. I mean, it looked nasty, sitting on a half shell. And they set it down, you know, before us. And, you know, that scripture came to mind, eat whatever's set before you. And I'm like, oh, Lord, God. Now, the funny thing was, is they had wine, but it was in a box. So I got the wine, poured it in a glass, dipped the mussel in it, hoping I'd kill anything that was on it, and ate it that way. They thought I was the freakiest guy in the whole they'd ever seen. Because I dipped that thing in there. It's like, it's got to sanitize it or something. Oh, my God. Well. But he said, say to him, the kingdom of God has come near you. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay. Here's this guy. He's just released his peace on there into this household. And he's healing the sick. And he's turning and saying to him, the kingdom of God has come near you. Where'd that come from? Huh? The only place that could have come from is what was on the inside of you. In other words, what the world has not seen and what the world has not understood is that they're just looking at the world and the way the world operates. They've not understood the kingdom of God. And people have to come to an understanding. The world needs to come to an understanding. Your friends need to come to an understanding that there's a difference in the kingdom of God and what this world has to offer. Think about this. Somebody does you wrong. You got a choice. You can go beat them up. All right? Slap them around, beat them really good. They'll file charges on you and probably go to jail. Right? That's the way the world system works. Or you can go over there and operate in the kingdom of God, and you can forgive them. And you say, well, how does that work? I mean, that ain't going to be no fun at all. Well, if you go beat them up, your knuckles are going to be sore. You're going to cost you because you're going to cost you something to get out of jail. Your wife's going to be mad at you. Right? To say the least of, you know, lawyers' fees or whatever, it's going to cost you. All right? But when you forgive, then God comes on the inside of you and heals your heart and does a miracle in you. That's when you can say the kingdom of God is near you. That's when you can say, no, that's how the kingdom of God works. God did that. That's what you need to understand. There's a difference between the world system and the kingdom of God system. And what the world hasn't figured out yet is they don't understand that. They don't understand that there is a difference. That there is just like night and day. And the world doesn't understand, and they're not going to understand it unless you explain it to them. But you got to explain it to them in such a way that it's real to them. They don't need religious jargon. They don't need, you know, dogmas and condemnation from religion. What they need is, what's happened on the inside of you? You see, if your relationship with Jesus is real and alive and you're changing and God's doing a work in you, then you got something to share. Hello? If you're the same old grumpy sourpuss that you've always been, well, then nobody's going to believe that you've ever even come close to the kingdom of God. Hello. See, what the world needs to see is what is Jesus doing in you? That's the greatest testimony you got. That is the greatest witness for Jesus is what's happening inside of you. A guy just called me the other day. And he did me a favor. And I wanted to pay him for it, and he wouldn't take it. And he said, no, God just told me to do this. He called me and told me that a deal that he'd been trying to get through from the time he did that for me, in 3 days it happened, and his family was just tremendously blessed financially with another thing about to happen. And I stopped him and I said, look, let me let you understand something. What happened was that was the kingdom of God working in your life. You did what Jesus told you to do. You were obedient to do it. When you did that obedience, it brought about this over here in your life, and that brought about that and made that happen. I said, just doesn't have anything to do with me. You just were obedient to heaven when you did. That's the kingdom of God coming upon you. And he's like, man, I know it. I can't believe it. Wow, this is unbelievable. This is. Yeah, you tasted it now. You've got it. You know what it tastes like. Hello? See, if you've never seen God do a miracle like that for you, well, then you don't really know what it tastes like. My wife, like, she put the hooey on me, traveling up to the finals. We get to check into the airport, and she's got some little special something on her ticket, and she doesn't have to go through security. They herd me through there, strip me down, take naked pictures of me, everything, you know. I'm like, what is this? And I started laughing. I said, yeah, she's just getting sharp, praying and got all this stuff figured out. Not me, you know, I'm just over here doing it the old hard-headed way because I won't forgive all those guys. Mad at them all the time. Want to start something. So that's what I'm getting. And the Lord just spoke to him and said, yeah, if you'd just be nice like her, you'd get over there in that line. All I'm saying is the kingdom of God is real, and God wants to move in your life in every phase of your life. But until something starts happening inside of you that you can say and declare this is the kingdom of God, you don't really have anything to say to anybody else. And what God wants to work in your life is he wants to do miracles for y'all every day. He wants to put you in the VIP section. He wants to bless you and to heal you and to touch you and to do all kinds of miracles and do all these things in your life so that you can just say, well, I don't know, but when that happened to me, this is what I did. I did this and this, and then God moved, and this is what that happened. If I was you, I'd try that. That's good preaching. Y'all with me? If you've had a miracle in your life, you've seen God do something for you, and then you just tell somebody what he did for you, and he said he'd do it for you, I'm sure. I don't know why he wouldn't. That's good preaching. Nobody wants to hear, you know, a long sermon. When they want to see what God's done for them. What he's done for you, for them. Right? So he sends these guys out. Go back to Luke 10. He sends these guys out. And they said the kingdom of God. Now look down at verse 25. And you can read the rest of Luke chapter 10. You need to read that this week. Really ask God to show you some things in there. The whole chapter. But look at 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? And is in your reading of it. And he answered and said, well, we'll love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, then who's my neighbor? Isn't that about right? Right? I mean, let's get it cut down. Who is my neighbor? Because I don't really want to be nice to everybody. So who's my neighbor? What's the proximity? Does this person have to live to me to be my neighbor? I mean, you know, I don't like that guy. It's a mile away. So can I cut it off at 3/4? That's what he's asking. So then Jesus answered and said, now a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down to the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. I mean, isn't the simplicity of this story is just what Jesus is saying? Well, who's your neighbor? It's whoever you come upon in life that's beat up on the side of the road. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? In other words, your neighbor, you don't have to look for it. It's who falls in front of you. Are y'all following me here? In other words, if you went all day and nobody came across your path, well then, you know, there wasn't anything God had for you to do that day. But if somebody came along your path that day, then you know what? He's looking to you. So you didn't say, well, I don't know. I don't really have a lot of compassion for that. But if it fell in front of you, you better get some. How many of y'all, and probably not, I'll not raise your hand on this one, but how many of y'all have one of those crazy friends that when you see them, you know, you're like this on the phone, oh, Lord, it's them. But you know, that crazy friend may be in your life because you have something you need to tell them. Right? And so what's your ministry for that day? I hate to tell you, just talk to old crazy. And what are you going to tell them? You can tell them about the kingdom of God coming near them. You see, there's no, listen, folks, listen to me. There's nothing that's going to work except a person opening their heart to, in a relationship to Jesus. You can't fix crazy. You can't fix stupid. Right? You ain't going to fix nothing anyway. All you can do is to try to get them to open up their hearts to Jesus. And the whole problem of our frustration comes about is because we keep trying to naturally tell them things. Well, now, if you'd stop and if you'd do this or if you do, we try to naturally tell them things when they really just say, look, I want, you're crazy as a bed bug. I mean, you're nuts. And you ain't going to make it in life unless you get hold of Jesus. And to pray with them and to teach them how to worship and to teach them how to come into the presence of God, to teach them how to read their Bibles. Do you know there's 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians? To the normal person, I would just guess, would it even take you 10 minutes to read the book of Ephesians? 15? 15 minutes to read the whole book of Ephesians. And there's more revelation in the book of Ephesians than you can ever even come to an understanding in your whole life. Okay? All I'm saying to you is maybe you need to sit down with crazy and read the book of Ephesians. Now, y'all don't get me in trouble here and say, I don't want nobody coming and saying, well, I was reading the book of Ephesians to me the other day because I don't want to, well, you're crazy. All I'm saying is, folks, it doesn't, you can give them all the good natural wisdom, but there comes a time in life that there's nothing really going to help somebody unless they just come into a relationship with Jesus. That's what they need. They need to know that Jesus is Lord, that the Word of God works, that the Holy Spirit will empower them. And the only way you're going to get them in that, and maybe the answer to get it fixed is you got to get them near the kingdom of God. And how are they going to do that? Least you pray with them, least you read with them, least you worship with them, least you do something to them. Are y'all with me? I've gotten down to where I used to think I knew stuff. You know, like I had wisdom. And I've just kind of come to the conclusion, man, I don't know nothing. You know, Robert Richards is just a common person. But I know, just get him to know Jesus, he knows everything. You know, so my answer for everybody is, come on, let me help introduce you to Jesus. Let me help you know Jesus. Let me worship with you. Let me do something because I'm not getting anywhere. I mean, my marriage counseling is boiled down to that. Oh, I'll meet with you. Let's pray. Hello? Because for years I've given people good counsel, but they didn't do it. So why not just get Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who's going to be with them all the time, convicting them, talking to them, helping them, guiding them, and leading them. Why not just get him 24 hours on the case rather than me an hour once a week? Because if you get to know Jesus and what it means to be in his presence and what it feels like to just come to a place where you close your eyes at your house or in your truck or, no, not when you're driving, but when you're sitting. Like, I'm one of these guys, and I know y'all appreciate this. You know how when it gets on a cold day and you're in your truck and, you know, the sun's coming through and it gets warm in there? You just take a nap, you know? I mean, it's just perfect. And when you're just in that place and you can just stop and say, man, Jesus, I love you, and come into his presence and sense the presence of God with you, folks, it'll change your life. It's better than all the wisdom man can give me just to be in God's presence for a moment. When you're out deer hunting, you're sitting in a blind. And then all of a sudden it just gets quiet. Peace comes rushing in. And you know he's there with you. Folks, there isn't a drug that can be better than that. That's what people need to know, that the kingdom of God has come near them. When these guys came home or when they went to Jesus, they were all excited. You can read all the rest of that in Luke 10. Because they said, Lord, man, even the devils were subject to us. Man, we were, you know, all kinds of great things, miracles, and all this is happening. But truly, it was the overflow of their hearts. And see, this guy in the story of the Good Samaritan, he just stopped and had compassion on the person that was there. The ministry came from the overflow of his heart. Are y'all with me? See, a lot of times we miss what ministry is. We think ministry has to be standing behind a pulpit preaching. Ministry is doing anything for anybody that you have found along the roadside of life. You see, have you ever stopped to think about that some of the people that are in your life may be in your life because God wants to use you to speak to them, to show them kindness, to show them love? You know, making some things for people at Christmas. It's showing people love. See, we get it all out of proportion. We get to thinking that it has to be this big, flamboyant, you know, fire-breathing, smoke-blowing message that you're going to preach to the person, but maybe they just need to know love, kindness, gentleness, favor. Are y'all with me? You may be the greatest minister in the world and you've never done anything but smile and shake people's hands. Make people feel important. I was watching Billy Graham last night, one of his old crusades, 1986. And when they were coming up to it, and I believe this is what I heard, but could be wrong, that he preached in 185 countries to 210 million people, I believe is what it said. Or it may have been 265 million people. But anyway, it was a lot. And it was just like the thing they were just running, you know, the advertisement or whatever you'd call it before. And then he got up and he preached, and I was just chuckling at how the simplicity of his message. No, it wasn't complicated at all. It's just basically, you know, do you know Jesus? And I thought, there he carried this message, this one message. He was good at this one message. He carried it all over the world, this one simple message, do you know Jesus? Get saved. That's it. He didn't really go very deep in any other areas of preaching, right? He just, that was it. That was his message, what he was called to do, and he just did it real well. What about if you find and understand your gifting in life, and that your gifting in life is that, you know, you just shake hands, smile, invite people, tell stories, maybe just make people laugh. All I'm saying is let's don't take the ministry and so tie it up that God can't move, because if the kingdom of God's going to come near them, it's going to have to come through you, so you're going to do what Jesus has done in you to them. It's not complicated. Jesus never intended to be complicated. Y'all with me? Intended it to be so simple that it naturally flows from you. Right? It's not supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to naturally flow from you. So what's going to happen in 2014? I want to tell you what. God's going to get all of y'all charged up, get you some vision, get you some understanding, get you some direction out there. And then you know what's going to happen as you begin to share the kingdom of God with the people around you? Well, then, you know, God's going to fill this place up. So it's going to happen. And then, I don't know what's going to happen from there, but, you know, I'll let him deal with it. Because people just need to know that simplicity. So what a great thing to have as a church. What would you call it? Church mission statement, you know? We're just going to naturally flow in what comes natural to us. Wouldn't that be what God wants you to do? Now, let me make one last statement. Here. Just thought of something. So what our job is to not let the world steal this from your heart, because it wants to. The world wants to crush your dreams, wants to crush your vision, wants to crush your happiness, wants to crush your joy. All right? And our job has to be, no, Lord, we're going to let you heal us of everything so that then we can be the men and women of God you called us to be. Now, God will do a miracle in your life if you just let him. He'll create that new wineskin on the inside if you'll just let him. He'll heal your heart if you'll just let him. If you just call out to him and say, Lord, show me what I need to do, he'll show you what you need to do. But it's going to take some time and some effort on your part. And then this new year coming in will be the greatest year of your life. Amen? So stand to your feet if you would. And can I have my prayer team come down, please? If you're here today and you need prayer, we want to pray with you. Don't leave this building today if you need prayer. If you need God to do a miracle for you, then you need to come up here and let one of these people pray with you. But let me tell you this, church. We're going to go out there, and because of what I'm preaching, because you're here and I'm looking at your faces today, And some of you, you're hungry and you're sucking this up. And that's good. I can guarantee you that if you'll turn your expector on, you're going to be like the Good Samaritan. You're going to run across people every day of your life. And then when you get into the place where you're naturally comfortable with what you're doing with that person, then I want to tell you something. You're going to start to have some real joy in life, because you're going to find out that God is using you in a very natural way, and it's very easy. And so what I want to do is I want to pray for you that you're going to go out there this week and you're going to be able to discover this new world that's out there of the Samaritan and being a Samaritan and finding the poor old guy on the side of the road. I don't really mean literally, but you know. And the next time old crazy calls you on the phone and you want to say, oh God, you need to stop and say, Jesus, what do you want me? How do you want me to speak to this person today? Give me a wisdom for this person today. And then pick it up and say, hey, how are you doing? You about ready for the kingdom of God to come near you? Start with the book of Ephesians. So I'm going to believe that for you. You're going to all see that this week. Amen? So grab that person's hand beside you. And I'm going to pray for you. And if you need prayer, come down here. We're here. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray for every person in here. Lord, as they've heard this message, I just thank you, Lord God, that all through this week, we're going to be like the Good Samaritans. As we go along in life, it's just going to naturally what happens in our life. Just a natural flow of us, Lord. Just a natural flow comes out of our life, goes unto them. I thank you, Lord God, that you just let our eyes be open and to see this. And Holy Spirit, you just work in us and just work naturally in us to just bring about the kingdom of God in people's lives. So, Lord, we give you praise for it. We give you thanks for it. I thank you for blessing each and every one of them here. Thank you for all those that have listened by audio or video, Lord God, that you're just touching their life and the kingdom of God is just coming upon them. And so, Lord, we give you praise for it. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.